I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me.
Hi, this is Jim Lanning. This week on the South Main Church of Christ podcast, Dave Neal joins us again from Somerset Church of Christ to discuss evangelism.
Fear paralyzes Christians and limits our ability to speaking to people about the salvation that we enjoy. And perhaps that's a key right there, is that we do enjoy a salvation and we do need to share that message with other people.
We'll hear more from Dave in a few moments. First, the Christian news with Jared.
This is a special report updated January 9th. One of the wildfires in Southern California has burned the building of the Pasadena Church of Christ. It is known locally as the Kinaloa Congregation. The church building was among an estimated 100 structures destroyed in the Eaton Canyon fire. According to ABC 7 Los Angeles, none of the Pasadena church's 9 members were personally affected. The building was about 70 years old and was rented out to 2 other churches. Closer to home now, a leader in the Churches of Christ across the greater Ohio Valley has died. Dr. Edwin Keith Stotts of Marietta passed away on Wednesday, January 3rd. Stotts served more than 40 years at Ohio Valley College in Vienna, West Virginia, having spent 11 years on the college board, 25 years as president, and 11 years as chancellor. Dr. Edwin Keith Stotts was 91. There is a link to more about Dr. Stotts' passing in the show notes of this podcast. A Christian school graduate was among those killed in the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street in New Orleans in the early hours of New Year's Day. Drew Dauphin grew up in Alabama and had just left a concert. He was walking on Bourbon Street at about 3:15 in the morning when the attacker drove a pickup into the pedestrians. Drew Dauphin was 26. In Texas, One Church of Christ has closed their building's doors for good. The Greenwood Church of Christ in the town of Greenwood dated back 128 years. Their congregation averaged about 25 people on any given Sunday in the late 1970s. Greenwood, Texas is about 55 miles north of Fort Worth. Those are some of this week's stories as delivered to us here at the church building from ChristianChronicle.org and from ChristianPost.com. From South Main Church of Christ in New Lexington, Ohio, I'm Jared Allen with the Christian News for the week of January 5th, 2025, and updated January 9th.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the sea and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Now, Tyler has this week's inspirational thought.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. I'm Tyler Wheat.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Now, the conversation. We have Dave Neal from Somerset Church of Christ, and he'll be talking about evangelism today. Dave?
Hi. Well, thanks, Jim, for inviting me to come today. We're going to discuss evangelism, and in that sense, at Somerset, we had been through the book of Acts and noticed all the conversions there. And when you're looking at the New Testament, you know, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the life of Christ. And then Acts is kind of that bridge between those Gospels and the letters. And in that bridge, we see the disciples doing what Jesus told them to do in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. So that was all well and good for them. They did what they were supposed to do. And the question becomes then, where does that responsibility fall today? Well, I suggest to you that it clearly falls on our shoulders as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we need to be involved in perpetuating the gospel. So in the class that we had at Somerset, we discussed some of the things that are a hindrance to doing evangelism, and the biggest concerns that that would prevent people or people would cause people to kind of shy away from doing evangelism. And some of the things that came up was fear. We know that 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 talks us not to have that spirit of fear, but in our humanity, that's one of those things we need to overcome is fear. And that does, I believe, prevent a lot of people from coming to that discussion with somebody about their salvation. So fear then certainly is something that could be generated because of, we might think, well, I'm going to be a failure, I'm going to have rejection. And certainly fear paralyzes Christians and limits our ability to speaking to people about the salvation that we enjoy. And perhaps that's a key right there, is that we do enjoy a salvation and we do need to share that message with other people. But this is more than just, evangelism is more than just living the life of a Christian. Certainly that's a part of it, but I believe the Bible also teaches us to reach out to those other folks about that, people that need to hear the gospel. But failure is certainly a problem, or at least a concern for failure, certainly a problem as people think about the idea. Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8, says that the only failure that we need to fear is the failure to tell and live the story of Jesus. God converts people. We present the gospel, and it's the gospel that actually does the converting. But we just need to tell the story of Jesus by the way that he lived his life and show that story to people and the redemption that comes from that. But fear would prevent us from doing that. Well, if we fail to tell the story, we may think that it's not our business, that it belongs to somebody else, like the preacher or the eldership or somebody else. But clearly, Matthew 28, as Jesus talks about the idea of evangelism, he's making a broad statement. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the world. Well, if we convert that to today's world, Jerusalem is our cities. Judea would be our state. Samaria would be those difficult places to go to teach the gospel. And then to the outermost parts of the world as best we can in that in our abilities to reach out. But it is our business. And maybe if we're not sure about doing evangelism, well, maybe we're not sure about our own salvation. Maybe we just haven't matured to that level yet of where that we lean on God for the strength that we need and trust in him to help us through the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're just not close enough to the Lord. You know, there's a real appreciation we need to have for the love of Christ, for the very things that he did for us. And when we stop to think about it, it's hard for me at least, to comprehend somebody giving their life for somebody else. And but Jesus did that. You know, it's just almost imaginable for a father to give his son to die for somebody else. You know, I can't imagine giving my child for somebody else's life. But God did that for us. But if we fall in love with Christ for what he did for us, it helps us to have a better appreciation for who he really is. Maybe we fail to tell the story because we fear of being culturally isolated from other people, or rejected by people that's not that concerned about their salvation. maybe we think we don't have enough knowledge or have an accuracy of the scriptures to be able to answer questions. Maybe it's a fear. One person told me, well, I have a fear of teaching the gospel because I might lose a friend. Well, yeah, it's a real possibility of losing a friend that might not be the best influence in our lives. So once we overcome fear and some of these other roadblocks, then how do we prepare to teach an individual? Well, a professor at a university has said that evangelism is a presentation of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit so that people will put their trust in God through him, accept him as their Savior, serve him as their King, and in fellowship with his church. And I really can't say it any better than that. So in preparation, we need to understand that. We need to pray about it. We need to move on from there. God did not give us an impossible mission to live as a Christian acceptable to him. So as we prepare to teach the gospel, however means that might be, certainly there are some things that I would suggest, such as knowing who the student is. Does the student consider himself to be a religious person? That's a position that people would take. And then there are both those that that obviously have not become a Christian or doesn't embrace the idea of Christianity. But just know what the student considers themselves to be. And you can easily ask that question if that student is a Christian, on how did they become a Christian? That's a good question to ask early on, and not be critical to the answer that you get. I'm firmly convinced that we need to meet people where they are if we're going to take them where we're planned to go. But however they answer that question, are you a Christian, just accept that for now, maybe even write it down on a piece of paper, and then let's see what the Bible says about being a Christian in your study. But we need to understand the level of the Bible knowledge that we have as a Christian as compared to the non-Christian, the person that needs to have that salvation in their lives. We need to understand our level of knowledge and not come across as being a know-it-all, not come across as being an authoritarian, but rather just meeting people where they are if we want to take them where they're going. And then I didn't say to compromise the truth, by the way, but just accept people where they are and then move forward through a Bible study. We should never, ever say, as we prepare in teaching the gospel, that this is my opinion. We should never, ever say that, but rather point to the scripture and say, here it is, read it for yourself. I've said frequently, well, here's my point that we're making, and I want you to read this for yourself so you don't think I'm making it up. It's right here in black and white. As we're going through a very early on in a Bible study, I'd also suggest that we don't make corrections to comments made by the student. Let's let the Bible answer those questions. They may have some wild idea about where, and I've had people to tell me some pretty wild things about how they became a Christian. Just accept that for the moment, and let the Bible study reveal what the Bible does teach. First of all, and I probably should have said this sooner, we need to gain a level of agreement, a level of understanding to where that you get people at least agreeing on some point, some basic point, rather than just having a barrier between you and that student. Another very critical thing to do is to listen as we prepare to teach the Bible to somebody else. Listen to that student, that person that's trying to overcome the world and gain salvation. We need to listen very carefully to what they have to say. So once we overcome our fears, once we prepare for the Bible study, then I would suggest to you that there are several means by which we can teach the scripture. And I would also suggest that one shoe doesn't fit every foot. But what method if you've tried to teach a Bible study or if you have taught Bible classes before, what have you done in teaching that individual on becoming a Christian? What method have you used? When I was a lot younger, I believe Jim showed me and Phil also showed me the Jewel Miller series, which is a good series. It's a broad overview of the Bible. In today's world, where people are so busy. It's hard to get people to commit to that much time. And I think there are, what, five lessons, Jim, in that?
I think so.
Yeah,
those are good. They're still being used today.
Yeah, and we still use those today. It's a very good series, but it's hard to get people to commit to that five-lesson series. Mm-hmm. I've used it in follow-up to an outline that I have for an open Bible study, which you can get from the authority of God to salvation within a matter of 59, well, within a matter of about an hour, and how to live as a Christian then within 59 verses. So within an hour, you can teach somebody the plan of salvation very easily and quickly, which is a whole other subject that would need to be developed. There's also a concept in the world today of being able to get everybody involved in evangelism by three different categories, because people tend to shy away from being the teacher. But the open Bible study has a silent partner where all you do is take notes. But there's another concept, though, where that you have where people can, maybe somebody's talented or have the abilities to invite people and bring them to church. Okay, there's one concept of evangelism, to bring people. Another concept is to teach. Well, maybe you're not so good at bringing somebody, but you can teach the scripture. Or maybe you can't do either one of those, but you can keep that individual. So bring, teach, keep. Everybody can be involved. Somebody can bring somebody to church. Somebody can teach them. Somebody can keep them by encouraging them, sending cards, phone calls, that sort of thing. So, Jim, that's kind of the quick overview of what we discussed in our evangelistic class recently.
Okay. Thank you, David. Tom, do you have anything to add to that?
That was good, Dave. I just might add that we all have different talents in the church. And Paul told Corinthians that, or in his word, that some of us can teach, some can evangelize, some can give more than others, and just different talents. But we need to do what we can do.
Amen.
As God's people.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, do it. Paul said, do with all your might what your hand finds to do it. Do it with all your might. Do it with diligence. And do it with love for the Lord.
Yeah, Tom, you reminded me of what Jesus said in the Gospels about the talents. You know, one guy was given five talents, two talents, one talent. The guy that used his five talents was rewarded for what he did. The guy that had only two was rewarded for what he did. The guy that was punished was the guy that didn't use his one talent.
Right.
Yeah. That's something to keep in mind. I think we all have talents, and we have to find out what our talent is and what we can use to be useful in the Lord's church. You can help in evangelism in maybe a lot of different ways and be involved in it. So that's the thing. And I was thinking on this, if you have a friend and you have a connection to them, that brings us to the point where we might be able to talk to them and they would listen. If I go do it and I just walk up on a porch as a stranger, people are not as likely to accept that this day and age with some of the things that goes on. So the connection between people help. That is where they have some level of trust for you. And I think that's so important. I also was thinking about this. Back in the 90s, I think this was prevalent, where a lot of the companies in the United States would get a message statement, or a mission statement, I should say, for that. And the schools got into that as well back in the 90s. But I always felt with the Church of Christ, this is the mission statement. This is from Matthew, last chapter in the book of Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Now, that's what David's been talking about, the evangelism. Make disciples of all the nations. Notice the next word, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20 starts out teaching them evangelism, to them to observe all things. That's an important word, that little three-letter word there, all, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's the very end of the book of Matthew. It's really speaking about evangelism, and that's our Lord speaking, and that is what the Church of Christ is all about.
Yeah, that's a really good reference, because you get the idea in verse 9. Well, in verse 18, all authority had been given to Christ, and he makes his statement, teach and baptize, verse 19. Then verse 20, teach them again. Teach them again as to how to live as a Christian, how to mature as a Christian. Broad statement, but it doesn't take very many pages of the New Testament to know what it takes to become a Christian, but it takes a lifetime of effort to know what it means to be a Christian, how to live as a Christian, and how to grow as a Christian, like Peter talked about, growing as a Christian.
Never-ending growth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, using our talents, I think Paul told, or the writer of Hebrews, which we believe was Paul, said that for a time, after a time you become a Christian, you ought to be teachers. And some people today, once sat in a pew and not do anything, that might be blunt, but we have to be involved in God's work. He expects us to work whatever we can do. Everyone can't teach, but we, by example, or whatever we can do for the Lord, it's good to do it.
Yeah, I credit my aunt for my initial obedience to the gospel. I don't know that she ever had a personal Bible study. I don't know that she ever taught a Bible class in some of the kids. I don't know if she ever did that. But she taught me. She encouraged me to become a Christian. She was that bringer that I was talking about.
Amen. That's good. Well, thank you so much for being here today, David and Tom. Here's Mark Randolph with this week's bulletin announcements.
Welcome, everyone, to the weekend announcements. We remember our Sunday morning Bible study at 9:45, where we're studying Galatians. Sunday evening, the ladies get together at 5 o'clock over the phone, and they do 2 Chronicles. Our midweek service is on Wednesday night at 6:30. Also, the youth will be getting together on Friday evenings at 6 to 8, and that will be here in a couple weeks from now. Also, the ladies will be starting a new devotional class, and that will be on the first and the third Saturday of each month, and that will start on January the 17th. And that'll be 8:30 to 9:30, and I'll be over the phone. I encourage you to do that. Also, remember all the ones that's on our prayer list, and we'll remember all of them. And also, we'll remember the ones that's possibly in the hospital and away from us at this time on that list. Remember them. This was Mark Randolph bringing you the weekly announcements.
My closing thoughts today on evangelism. I'd like to look at Mark 16:19. And it reads, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. With evangelism, we go out and preach everywhere. That's something we have today where we're able to do that over the internet. That's our goal here, to preach the Word of God everywhere we can to those who will listen, willing to believe and obey. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Lanning, currently serving as one of the three elders at South Main Church of Christ in New Lexington, Ohio. The other two elders at our church are Tom Shepherd and Ernie Starling. We would like to thank all the guests who agreed to take part in our discussion each week and hope to have them back with us in the future to discuss the Bible and what we can learn from Scripture. Our weekly announcements are written by Holly Randolph and narrated by Mark Randolph. Thanks to Jared Allen, our technology room steward and media producer, as well as for serving as the writer, editor, and news anchor on this podcast. Hymns sung on our podcast originate from two hymnals we use in our auditorium. Those are Songs of the Church and Sacred Selections. Hymns used in this podcast episode include our podcast opening, "I Know the Lord Will Find a Way for Me," arranged by Reed Lancaster. "He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe," composed by American folk Melody, and Pam Stevenson. We have heard The Joyful Sound, composed by William J. Kirkpatrick and Priscilla J. Owens, as well as our closing hymn, I'll Fly Away, composed by Albert E. Brumley. We thank all our church members for their support. Most of all, we thank you for listening to the South Main Church of Christ podcast and hope you will subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We hope you will come join us for a Sunday worship service at 7 Smith Street in New Lexington, Ohio, and stop in during one of our Bible study sessions. Please be on the lookout for our special podcasts posted from time to time. Let's talk again next week.